Your conscience. This is WBAI New York.
For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Sue Goodwin, and this is an impeachment update. President Trump's Senate impeachment trial is almost over. Just moments ago, the Senate voted to defeat a motion to allow subpoenas for witnesses and documents, with only two Republicans, Senators Susan Collins of Maine and Mitt Romney of Utah, joining Democrats to back extending the trial. Chief Justice John Roberts announced the result.
Are there any senators in the chamber wishing to change his or her vote? If not, the yeas are 49, the nays are 51. The motion is not agreed to. Under the previous order, the Senate stands in recess, subject to the call of the chair.
This will be the first impeachment trial in U.S. history to end without witness testimony. Earlier in the day, lead impeachment manager Representative Adam Schiff warned senators about the far-reaching consequences of the decision they took today.
I'd like to take a moment by talking about what I think is at stake here. A no vote on the question before you will have long-lasting and harmful consequences long after this impeachment trial is over. We agree with the President's counsel on this much. This will set a new precedent. This will be cited in impeachment trials from this point to the end of history. You can bet in every impeachment that follows, whether it is a presidential impeachment or the impeachment of a judge, if that judge or president believes that it is to his or her advantage that there shall be a trial with no witnesses, they will cite the case of Donald J. Trump. They will make the argument that you can adjudicate the guilt or innocence of the party who is accused without hearing from a single witness, without reviewing a single document. And I would submit that will be a very dangerous and long-lasting precedent that we will all have to live with. President Trump's wholesale obstruction of Congress strikes at the heart of our Constitution and democratic system of separation of powers. Make no mistake, the president's actions in this impeachment inquiry constitute an attack on congressional oversight, on the co-equal nature of this branch of government, not just on the House, but on the Senate's ability as well to conduct its oversight, to serve as a check and balance on this president and every president that follows. If the Senate allows President Trump's obstruction to stand, it effectively nullifies the impeachment power. It will allow future presidents to decide whether they want their misconduct to be investigated or not, whether they would like to participate in an impeachment investigation or not. That is a power of the Congress. That is not a power of the president. By permitting a categorical obstruction, it turns the impeachment power against itself. How do we respond to this unprecedented obstruction? Will shape future debates between our branches of government and the executive forever.
Representative Schiff went on to explain why the decision taken today by the Senate may be even more important than the one they will take in days to come.
The importance of a fair trial here is not less than in every courtroom in America. It is greater than any courtroom in America. Because we set the example for America. I said at the outset, and I'll repeat again, your decision on guilt or innocence is important, but it's not the most important decision. If we have a fair trial, however that trial turns out, whatever your verdict may be, at least we can agree we had a fair trial. At least we can agree that the House had a fair opportunity to present its case. At least we can agree that the president had a fair opportunity to present their case if we have a fair trial. And we can disagree about the verdict, but we can all agree The system worked as it was intended. We had a fair trial, and we reached a decision. Rob this country of a fair trial, and there can be no representation that the verdict has any meaning. How could it, if the result is baked in by the process? Assure the American people, whatever the result may be, that at least they got a fair shake. There's a reason why the American people want to hear from witnesses. And it's not just about curiosity. It's because they recognize that in every courtroom in America, that's just what happens. And if it doesn't happen here, the government has become arbitrary. There is one person who is entitled to a different standard, and that's the President of the United States. And that is the last thing the founders intended. We reserve the balance of our time.
Lead impeachment manager, Representative Adam Schiff. The vote to acquit the president is now a foregone conclusion, but its timing remains up in the air. There's been speculation that the Senate may hold off voting on whether to remove or acquit the president until next week. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has been working on a proposal that would push the final impeachment vote to Wednesday, according to GOP aides familiar with the plan. The plan isn't final, but it raises the prospect that the Senate's final verdict may not come in until after the Iowa caucuses on Monday and President Trump's State of the Union address on Tuesday. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Sue Goodwin.
Untitled, produced and hosted by Malika Lee Whitney, will be heard on Fridays from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Untitled presents features on the arts, culture, education, and social issues. You will also enjoy music from a variety of genres. Special guests complement the program with insightful and engaging conversation. That's Untitled, Fridays from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. over listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a celebration. The award-winning Midnight Ravers can now be heard every Friday from 12 midnight to 2 a.m. So wake the town and tell the people. We'll continue to present the best in music, history, and social commentary, along with expert discussion of the important issues and events of today and yesteryear. So keep it locked into WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM.
The Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special.
Hello, I'm Isaac Ferguson, host of Caribbean Voices and Beyond, Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. Join me this Saturday when Minister Ron Diaz, CEO and founder of the National Diabetes Task Force, will be here to discuss holistic eating as a way of fighting diabetes. Again, join me on Saturday at 4 to 6 p.m. for Minister Ron Diaz, holistic health consultant on fighting diabetes. That is Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m. on Caribbean Voices and Beyond.
Here on listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI, New York.
All right. Stay tuned for the WBAI Evening News coming up.
Good evening. The president declares a health emergency and limits travel from China. Jeff Bezos makes $13 billion in 15 minutes. Protesters say he needs to pay more taxes in New York. And the man who built Iraq's nuclear weapons program says Iran has no real interest in getting its own bomb. With these and other stories, I'm Paul D'Arienzo with the WBAI News for Friday, January 31st, 2020. The United States declared a public health emergency on Friday. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar announced an order signed by President Trump temporarily barring entry to the U.S. of foreign nationals other than immediate family of U.S. citizens and permanent residents who have traveled to China within the last 14 days. Starting Sunday, the U.S. will funnel all flights to the U.S. from China to seven major airports where passengers can be screened for illness. The illness is linked to the coronavirus that's infected almost 10,000 people globally in just 2 months. Public health officials say there are six cases of this virus in the United States and 191 individuals are being monitored. The announcement came hours after the State Department issued a level 4 do not travel advisory, the highest grade of warning, and told Americans in China to consider departing using commercial means. China has bitterly denounced the U.S. declaration. And law enforcement authorities in Florida say they're holding two people whose vehicles ran two security checkpoints at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort during a police chase. The black SUV tried to force its way through a security checkpoint north of the resort shortly before noon on Friday, according to West Palm Beach police. The two suspects were arrested after a short chase involving a police helicopter and Florida Highway Patrol cars. Britain's flag, the Union Jack, was removed from lines of European Union member state flags at the European Council and European Parliament buildings in Brussels this evening. The United Kingdom's exit from the bloc, known as Brexit, becomes official at midnight London time. Britain will become the first country to quit the EU after 47 years in the club. And Secretary of State Mike Pompeo emphasized Washington's support for Ukraine on a visit to Kyiv on Friday. Both countries sought to smooth over relations challenged by Trump's impeachment trial. Trump faces allegations he pressured Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to investigate the son of his Democratic rival Joe Biden. Trump has denied any wrongdoing. The United States said on Friday it banned a Tanzanian official who announced a crackdown on homosexuality in Dar es Salaam in 2018. The State Department says Paul Makonda had been implicated in oppression of the political opposition, crackdowns on freedom of expression and association, and the targeting of marginalized individuals. The move bars Makonda and his immediate family members from visiting the United States. And in another move today, tearing down the legacy of Barack Obama, Trump relaxed Obama-era restrictions on the U.S. military's use of landmines, arguing that the previous policy put American troops at a severe disadvantage. Obama's administration said in 2014 that it would no longer produce or buy anti-personnel landmines. The move came over concerns of injuries to civilians who came across the mines long after the conflict had ended. And you're listening to the news on WBAI New York. I'm Paul D'Arienzo. In local headlines, a 16-person panel appointed by Mayor Bill de Blasio has published a report which rejects a plan to turn the Brooklyn Promenade into a temporary highway. The roadway would replace the two levels of the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway, which have serious structural flaws. Rather than replace the highway, the panel's main recommendation is to eliminate two lanes of the six-lane highway and limit access to smaller trucks. The report also says that work be undertaken to immediately devise a broader transformation of the entirety of the BQE corridor from Staten Island to Queens. They call for moving beyond the Robert Moses-era highway traffic model. Moses was a powerful bureaucrat in the mid-20th century who built parks, beaches, and a massive network of highways. Many of New York City's roadways have become unmanageable. And in other news, the trial of movie producer Harvey Weinstein continued today, marking 4 weeks of emotional witness testimony, its first criminal case against Weinstein after over 75 women accused him of sexual misconduct, including actresses Rose McGowan and Annabella Sciorra. Chandani Smith has the story.
Actress Jessica Mann, who is at the center of the allegations against Harvey Weinstein, spoke through tears as she testified in Manhattan Supreme Court today. She said Weinstein raped her in 2013 and described the attack in graphic details. She was particularly emotional when she said Weinstein cornered her at a DoubleTree hotel in Midtown, went into the bathroom and injected himself with a syringe, and came out with an erection. She said then he raped her. Mann said she maintained friendly and flattering correspondences with Weinstein in order to protect herself from his anger and violence, and because he promised her roles, including in his 2014 film Vampire Academy. She detailed what she called her dynamic with Weinstein, the levels of manipulation he used which forced her to panic and shut down emotionally. As she testified about cutting ties with Weinstein, she broke down and was escorted tearfully from the witness stand. Mann's accusation is at the center of the prosecution's criminal case against Weinstein, along with that of Miriam Haley. Haley is a former production assistant who says Weinstein forced oral sex on her during a hotel meeting in 2006. The accusations of the two accusers form the basis of the 5 felony accounts against Weinstein. His defense maintains that any of Weinstein's sexual encounters were consensual. Chandani Smith, WBAI News, New York.
And yesterday, Jeff Bezos became a whole lot richer. As founder and owner of a block of Amazon Incorporated stock, his net worth surged to about $129.5 billion. Amazon reported a strong holiday shopping season and a jump in members of its video streaming service. The late surge on Thursday added more than $90 billion to Amazon's market value, pushing it above $1 trillion. But in New York City, a group of protesters gathered at Bezos's posh penthouse at 512 Fifth Avenue to demand the world's richest man pay his taxes.
He's got a mansion in Washington, an island in Seattle, a huge ranch in Texas, and here he's got an $80 million penthouse at the very top of this building. Yesterday on the stock market, he made $13 billion in 15 minutes. We're asking him to pay a small tax on his New York City apartment to fund housing for the 92,000 New Yorkers who are sleeping on the streets or in shelters, to rebuild our subways, to fund our public schools.
The protest was called by the Make Billionaires Pay campaign, Strong Economy for All Coalition, New York Communities for Change, Align, Empire State Indivisible, and Jews for Racial and Economic Justice. State Senator Brad Holyman was one of the speakers. He's the lead sponsor of a bill in Albany aiming at raising $30 billion a year from a pied-à-terre tax and from other measures to fund progressive priorities, including affordable housing and the Green New Deal. A pied-à-terre, meaning literally a foot in the ground, is a second or third home. Holyman described the layout in Bezos's penthouse suite and the billionaire's globe-spanning personal properties.
Your suite on the 17th floor is a dream. There's a private bedroom in the master suite. So how many bedrooms do you know have a private bedroom within it? Well, this one does. It's 7 rooms with 2 dressing rooms. There are 2 extraordinarily well outfitted bathrooms, a sitting room, a home office, numerous closets, magnificent views, a $5,000 dog bed. $5,000 dog bed. Let me tell you this. I'm sure there are a lot of homeless New Yorkers who could use a bed that would be a lot less than $5,000. Inside the master bedroom is a breathtaking view of the Empire State Building from the bathtub. From the bathtub. And once you step off the elevator, according to the broker from Sotheby International Realty, she says, quote, "Your first experience is size really does matter." In addition to that, you've got a $5,000 foot wraparound terrace with amazing views of all of us down here protesting all of them up there. Let me say that we're talking about the richest man on the planet, worth $130 billion. We know that just yesterday, his fortune increased by $13 billion. In addition to this apartment, Mr. Bezos owns 2 adjacent mansions in Beverly Hills, more than 300,000 acres of land in West Texas, and a 29,000 square foot estate in Seattle. Plus, he owns the largest mansion in Washington, D.C., where he recently hosted a party for, please hold your horses on this one, Ivanka Trump, Jared Kushner, and other Trump administration officials. Well, it's time that we stand up as a community and make our elected officials know that the rich need to be taxed fairly.
Holyman went on to say part of the problem is in Albany.
The New York State tax system is broken. A billionaire like Ken Griffin only has to pay an estimated $516,000 in property taxes on his $238 million apartment. $238 million apartment. If Griffin were taxed at the same rate as a single-family homeowner, he'd be paying about $2.4 million in property taxes. So the question is, why should Jeff Bezos be paying a lower effective tax rate than a single-family homeowner in Queens?
On Thursday, the city's Advisory Commission on Property Tax Reform released a long-awaited report. Among the reforms was an upvaluation of luxury real estate to reflect true market values. Another reform would reduce the valuation of small homes in poor neighborhoods by removing the cap on property taxes in more affluent areas of the city. Activists also chimed in on the importance of changing the city's tax priorities to solve new problems.
My name is Chio Valerio Gonzalez, and I am the campaign director at Align New York. And we're here to demand that billionaires like Jeff Bezos pay their fair share taxes, because we have a climate crisis, we have a homelessness crisis, we have all kinds of crises, and we have billionaires that are not paying their fair share.
And a surprise speaker at today's rally at the Amazon Magnate's Fifth Avenue home was someone well known to Jeff Bezos, his ubiquitous internet personal assistant, Alexa.
Our neighbors in Puerto Rico are suffering from the worst earthquake that there is, and yet we have multi-billionaires who are not giving their fair share. Jeff Bezos and billionaires like him are contributing and profiting from the climate crisis and must fund our climate solutions. It is time for the state and the city to actually address climate change. We have been asking for the city to put $1 billion every year to retrofit apartment buildings, affordable housing, to make sure that we're mitigating our climate crisis. And what we're hearing from elected officials is, where are we going to get the money from? And I'm telling you, this guy has the money. He has more than his fair share, and he needs to start paying us. Bezos has made millions of dollars by spewing tons of toxic diesel fuels from trucks into black and brown communities, while cutting deals to provide technology for oil companies to help them find and drill oil quicker and cheaper.
And that, of course, is not Alexa. We'll go on to hear from the ubiquitous internet personal assistant, Alexa.
Jeff can definitely afford to pay the more than $2.5 million he would owe under a paid-a-tier tax. Out-of-town billionaires like Jeff are distorting New York City's housing market and harming neighborhoods. New York should prioritize housing homeless people, funding public education, public transit, and climate solutions, not second or third homes for billionaires, or sixth homes in Jeff's case.
And a single mom in the protest had this to say.
How you doing? My name is Cynthia. I'm not here today with NYCC, New York Communities for Change. I'm here today to tell you guys out here, I am a single mom living out there. I lived in public housing for many years and struggled to pay rent for many years. I see my mom struggle. I see my auntie struggle. I see my cousin struggle. And I see everyday New Yorkers struggle every day working 2 to 3 jobs to uphold rent. When we have billionaires out there like Jeff Bezos that's buying homes and buying 10 houses each day, and it's like, he got money to spend but don't want to pay his fair share. He don't want to pay his taxes, and we out here today to let him know it's time to pay your taxes.
And Ricky Silver of Empire State Indivisible led a group to deliver an orange and green lettered cake to the doorman to give to Bezos. It read, hashtag make billionaires pay.
How is it possible that New York, the so-called bastion of progressive policy, could be number one in inequality? We'll tell you. It's exactly because the budget that gets approved year and year after year after year is built off of principles of austerity, built off of principles that are designed to generate wealth for the wealthiest and leave the most marginalized communities in our state behind. It leaves us fighting for scraps year over year. Our public schools are owed $4 billion. We have 92,000 people living homeless in New York. How is that acceptable? These should not be considered fixed realities of our times. And we are here today with one simple ask. It's time to make the billionaires pay. It's time to get to a state where all can thrive, and imagine a state where all could prosper. So with that, we're going to see if we can hand off the cake and let Jeff Bezos know we're simply asking for him to have his cake and for us to eat it too. Thank you so much.
Not all the tech billionaires made out yesterday. Mark Zuckerberg, who owns Facebook, reportedly lost $4 billion. And finally, on Thursday, the Trump administration said it will allow Russian, Chinese, and European companies to continue to work at Iranian nuclear sites, a decision that drew anger from Iran hawk Republicans. The administration says the continued presence of outside experts would hinder Iran's ability to build a nuclear weapon. In 2018, Trump pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal, reimposing sanctions on Iran, but it will let the work go forward by issuing waivers to sanctions. The move comes weeks after the U.S. and Iran came to the brink of war. Several Republican lawmakers, including Lindsey Graham, Tom Cotton, and Ted Cruz, lobbied unsuccessfully to end the waivers, but diplomats say several of the companies that would be sanctioned do important work with the United States and would have caused a sanctions headache. But despite its ongoing nuclear research, experts say Iran is in no rush to develop its own atomic bombs. They're expensive, dirty, and invite attack. Imad Kaduri was an official in Iraq's nuclear weapons program in the 1980s. He says Iran's leadership is holding the line against building the bombs.
They don't want it. Actually, it's the highest level, as the Ayatollah. First of all, Khomeini and now Khamenei is actually a fatwa, a religious edict, not to have the weapon, the atomic weapon. That's who don't want it. Now, that doesn't say that on the other hand, there are some Iranian generals, military generals, who, for example, in 1990-1991, went to Pakistan and contacted the chief nuclear scientist in Pakistan and bought from him the first versions of the centrifuges. His name is Khan. They were hoping that the Ayatollahs would change their mind and remove this edict.
Is there anything happening that could change the calculus and drive countries to develop nuclear weapons? And Israel has 200 of them.
Nuclear weapons is a sword with two edges. North Korea has it, and it had used it very cleverly in pushing Trump off his edge, just refused and made humor out of Trump because they have nuclear weapons. It's a long way for our countries to go back on the nuclear path, the weaponized nuclear path. It's a long, long way. Now, as far as the Iraq is concerned, Trump doesn't recognize Iraq. In an interview with Kelly, he says, Iraq, what Iraq? There is no Iraq. You know, it belongs to him, to his father and grandfather. They own the oil of Iraq. This Israeli deal, which is completely biased, 100% biased towards the Zionists in Israel. I'm not saying Jewish, I'm saying Zionists in Israel. Is really another manifestation of this religious stigma that Trump has, thinking that he is, by giving Jerusalem as eternal capital, which it is not. It was the capital since the ancient times, occupied by Arabs and other tribes. And giving the Golan Heights, which is Syrian, as if it's his own property to give to. He thinks he's fulfilling this biblical prophecies that he's the new Jesus coming to save the people of Israel, the Jewish people of Israel.
He said this that. Zionist, he claimed to be the chosen one at one point, Trump.
Exactly, he was the chosen one. Well, you know, in the Islamic creed, the Shiites especially, they are also waiting for the chosen one, the Mahdi, they call him. But the Mahdi will come only after the Christian Mehdi comes along. Maybe Trump thinks he's that one, so that the Muslim Mehdi pops up on the scene.
Right, right. Imad Kaduri was an official in Iraq's nuclear weapons program in the 1980s. He says before the 1991 war, the country was well on its way to developing an Iraqi bomb, a program set up in response to an Israeli attack on an Iraqi nuclear reactor. And that's some of the news for Friday, January 31st, 2020. The news is produced with Shandani Smith and Linda Perry. Our engineer is Reggie Johnson. For the WBAI News, I'm Paul DiRienzo.